From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Former Vice President Joe Biden has maintained a significant lead over incumbent President Donald Trump in polls for many weeks now. Mr. Biden's strategy has largely been to remain under the radar and emerge every now and then with a scathing critique of Trump. Still, his campaign, just a few days ago, released a document of more than 100 pages that laid out a vision for climate change, the economy, criminal justice, healthcare, and more. That was the result of months of negotiations with Senator Bernie Sanders' presidential campaign. The resulting document, while far to the left of Biden's comfort zone, nonetheless excluded such signature bread-and-butter progressive demands as Medicare for All and a Green New Deal. A few weeks ahead of the Democratic National Convention, we turn today to a Bernie Sanders delegate from California, which is part of the largest Sanders delegation to the DNC, to examine how much the Vermont senator's progressive platform will play a role in the months to come. Hania J. Barnes is a Bernie Sanders delegate candidate in California and was part of the national organizing body for Muslims for Bernie. Welcome to the program, Hania.
Thank you for having me, Sonali.
So let's first begin by talking about these unity task forces. It's been so interesting to see how over the past even a year or so, the two wings of the Democratic Party, the progressive wing that, say, Bernie Sanders represents, the centrist or, you know, establishment wing that Biden represents, how important was it in this election year for these unity task forces to try to hammer out the differences between these two wings of the Democratic Party?
Thank you, Sonali, first and foremost, for this brilliant question. And I do want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. I do want to let you know that unfortunately I cannot speak on behalf of the entire delegation, which is a very large body in California, but I can tell you exactly as a delegate from Congressional District 45 why I would think that it is extremely critical, and it was very critical for the task forces to meet and move the agenda towards a progressive language. Obviously, Bernie Sanders is not a leader. He is a movement for many of us. And in a time where we're facing one of the largest and deadliest pandemics in this country, it is absolutely critical for us to talk about key agenda items like Medicare for All. And I would hope that in the conversation that these task forces had, there was room for negotiation on the Green New Deal, Medicare for All, where unfortunately, people are dying and do not have access to health care. So when we talk about democracy in this country, we also talk about human dignity and human rights. And some of the key issues that have been brought up under the task forces do cover all of that. We do know for a fact that the six task forces met before our at-large and our PLEO delegates were appointed. When we read the body of the task forces, there were some key issues, just like you said, that were missing, where we still do need to talk about. And we hope that as a democratic country, we begin to heal internally by moving this message towards a world or a country where people don't have to lose their health care because it's attached to their work. Or we can take care of our air, polluted air and our water by banning fracking in some areas in the country. So it is absolutely critical for these task forces to continue to work with one another so we can see some changes that we've been thirsty for a long time. So right.
Now it seems as though if the election were to be held today, Biden would most likely win, at least according to all of the polling that we're seeing. Poll after poll after poll shows Trump's support plummeting, even when adjusted for some of the factors that polls missed 4 years ago when it was Clinton versus Trump. However, of course, the election is on November 3rd, and anything can happen between now and November 3rd. I'm wondering if you think that progressives are going to support Biden, whether or not he adopts those signature bread and butter issues like Green New Deal and Medicare for All, because they see how dangerous Trump is. So are progressives going to back Biden? And has Biden been open enough to progressives? You know, this relationship between progressive voters and Biden is really important.
Very, because we come in larger numbers and we are the people and we are majority people who represent this country. And we saw the desire in our youth to have a leadership in this country that talks about issues like a minimum livable wage and Medicare for all and a Green New Deal. I truly hope that. Obviously, as you mentioned, we have a white supremacist occupying the White House right now that we need to get rid of. But we also have to be very cognizant, and the Biden campaign needs to be very cognizant that if we continue to ignore these issues that the common folk, especially in the marginalized communities, bring up, and if we do not pay attention to those issues, what ends up happening is that we're going to continue to give a platform for the next Trump to be elected, and the Republicans to continue to block these agendas. I would hope that our Vice President Biden begins to also look at his foreign policy platforms and the people he is surrounding himself with, because for some of us, those are some of the issues that unfortunately impact us as foreigners in this country, as people who migrated here for democracy to live under, obviously, have a slice of the American pie. But I would hope that in his mission, he reaches out to minorities. I hope that he does, again, begin to surround himself with a campaign that leads with passion, especially in terms of foreign policy. And I'm afraid that if he does not
Right.
do that, he will not excite some of us who are relying on those key terms to be discussed.
So let's talk about foreign policy, and let's specifically talk about demilitarization. There's been a conversation happening domestically around the defunding of police forces. Very important conversation that Black Lives Matter has initiated, pointing out how local police forces suck up so many of our resources that people need. Similarly, anti-war activists for years have raised how our military and the Pentagon budget suck up federal resources from things like healthcare and education that we desperately need. And Bernie Sanders has been one of the few people who has raised this issue of demilitarization in recent years, especially. And now we've heard that even Senator Chuck Schumer, Senate Minority Leader, has actually endorsed Sanders's proposal to cut the military budget by 10%. So let's talk about the Unity Task Forces. What did the Unity Task Forces say, if anything, on the issue of demilitarization? And what would you like to see from Biden on this notion?
Well, unfortunately, the task forces did not cover foreign policy,
Nothing at
which
all.
I would
They didn't
presume,
even have a
no.
task force on the issue.
No, the six task forces were immigration, economy, environmental justice, healthcare, criminal justice, and education. But to your point, right now we have a Trump proposal, which is and our delegation, a part of majority of our delegation, is hoping to mobilize a vote against Trump's $738 billion military budget that will fund a nuclear weapon development, our space force, and forever occupation of countries like Afghanistan. And so I always say that again, if we are leading, in fact, with as the most powerful country in the world, we have to lead with compassion, and we have to begin talking about how much of these fundings that go through militarization and occupation, cutting those back and bringing those back to our own home country where millions of people do not have health insurance, where we have our minority communities living in the most and under the most dire conditions. Why not bring that funding back and reinvest it back in our home country where we can afford to provide livable wage for our people and get rid of student debt? Unfortunately, again, as I mentioned, there is no mention of foreign policy and the task forces. And we hope that Biden campaign surrounds him with people who lead with compassion in this country. And they're
Right.
not war apologists, as I call them.
Right. I mean, it's war apologists, war hawks. Unfortunately, it's been a bipartisan, consensus on maintaining the U.S.'s warmongering around the nation and the degree of difference between the Democratic Party and the Republican Party on issues of war are not as significant as we'd like to see. So let's talk. I want to hone in on our foreign policy on one specific issue that's often been seen as the untouchable issue, and that's the issue of Israel, the funding of Israel, and of course, the important issue of Palestinian human rights. We're seeing when it comes to the Democratic Party that the base of the Democratic Party is now becoming more progressive on this issue. We have a couple of openings in Congress. We have, two Muslim American women in Congress, both of whom are strong supporters of Palestinian human rights, Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, but they face an onslaught from members of their own party. Ilhan Omar, in particular, she's facing a challenge that is funded by pro-Israel members of the Democratic Party. How important is it for you, as someone who has worked on, you were part of the Muslims for Bernie group? How important is it for you that the issue of Palestine be something that the Democratic Party take a principled stand on?
Well, as you already mentioned, there's immense desire in the progressive movement to talk about things that were once upon a time a taboo that we couldn't touch and talk about. I think when we talk about human rights globally, we have to talk about the Palestinian rights. We have to talk about these refugee camps that are no longer receiving funds, such as UNRWA, and unfortunately, the occupation of Palestine and the annexation of Jordan Valley. Those are some of the biggest issues that we have and we need to continue to talk about. It is important for us to have representation in Congress. It is very important for us to allow our representatives to talk about issues of foreign policy in terms of Palestinian rights. And if we continue to silence those voices, what that does is it actually it defeats the purpose of running as minorities for office beginning to build that table that we need to bring people in terms of to in terms of representation. I think that the more the establishment wing of the Democratic Party silences these voices, they are sending a very concerning message to all of the young Muslim children in this country that if they do talk about a particular subject matter, as their First Amendment right, that they will be punished, and they do not have a voice in our politics. And I think that is why we may continue to see a rise in the Republican
Right.
Party's fascism, really. I mean, there's no other way to really put it, but
I mean, and
unfortunately, that's
this is
happening.
one of those issues. Lately we've been hearing a lot of debate about so-called cancel culture. People who speak out about Palestinian human rights have for years faced the onslaught of cancel culture from pro-Israel groups. And I do want to mention that it was just a few days ago that more than 200 delegates to the 2020 Democratic National Convention submitted a statement calling for conditioning U.S. aid to Israel, putting conditions on U.S. aid to Israel. They were crafted by Palestinian American delegate Sam Hindi. We've also had members of Jewish Voice for Peace who are among the California elected DNC delegates. So certainly the DNC delegates are, at least some of them, are pressuring the Democratic Party and hopefully in turn the presumptive presidential nominee Joe Biden on this issue. So let me ask you about where you think the Democratic National Convention's direction is, going to be focused on. And everything is up, of course, up in the air. There was supposed to be
Virtual.
just this past week, we were supposed to all be gathering in Milwaukee for the actual DNC. I had made plans as a journalist to cover it. Now the DNC faces postponement in August. We've just heard that there's going to be a convention across America, as they're putting it, and people are worried about access. How, as a delegate, are you going to be able to participate in this, new landscape and be able to put forward progressive issues, because it's very powerful. I remember 4 years ago, Bernie delegates, were able to silently hold up signs to make themselves seen and heard. But to do everything in this virtual environment seems like it might be challenging.
That has been a concern that has circulated among many of our delegates. And I want to thank you for bringing up the annexation letter that was composed by our California delegates, at the very beginning of this segment. And I think the convention being virtual, Sonali, has not stopped us from working tirelessly on policy platform suggestions. We have, as a coalition, spent over 40 hours in the past few weeks just working on platform policies pertaining to foreign policy, obviously. The issue of Palestine and Israel has been at the forefront of our conversation. Obviously, rallying the vote against this $738 billion budget, for our military and women's rights issues, as well as issues that we think and we see to be a problem and have never been mentioned in the 2016 platform language. So the convention being virtual hasn't stopped us from working, right? And if anything, it has emboldened our message and it has given us the strength to work even harder now that we may not have access to the convention directly to hold our sign. So we have used our voices and our words as our fighting mechanism to go against establishment and make sure that all the voices are included in this conversation. But we really hope and we ask the Democratic Party to make this a very transparent process for many of the delegates who have either Zoom or Maestro to be able to log in to cast a vote or even to attend some of these conferences. Now, there are, I am also a founder of the Muslim delegation and allies with two of my other sisters, and we are encouraging people to partake in interfaith seminars and begin talking about issues that really do matter. But I guess ultimately all of this really falls in the hands of the Democratic Party to make sure that the progressives have a platform to talk about issues and protest the lack of attention to the Green New Deal and the task forces and Medicare for all, universal healthcare, especially amid a pandemic where we see so many people losing their health coverage. And we also see a rise of death in the Black and Brown communities who are impacted heavily by this pandemic. So if the Democratic Party doesn't allow us to talk about issues like that, then my challenge is, where would be the democracy?
Right.
Right. So
I'm also wondering whether you think that the Democratic Party can be pushed in a progressive direction when it comes to the rights and the treatment of Muslim Americans. Since September 11th, but even really going before that, we've seen Muslim Americans being targeted, people perceived as Muslims or Arabs. This is an issue that resurges every few years. The flavor of the month for who right-wing white extremists target changes depending upon the crisis. For example, Asian Americans are being targeted during the pandemic. But what do you, as a Muslim American, as somebody who's a part of Muslims for Bernie, want to see the Democratic Party, do on the issue of racism in general? We are in the middle of a national conversation on racism, thanks to the relentless activism of the Black Lives Matter movement.
We want them to stop surveilling us. Mm. We want them to stop targeting us at airports. These are issues that are, because of our faith, our brothers and sisters have been facing in this country. But I think the broader conversation is that the Democratic Party needs our votes. Once upon a time, we were not a part of this conversation where our votes really mattered because we stayed home. And the reason for that was that we never saw a change in foreign policy in our countries in the Middle East. So we were impacted heavily, and no matter who took office, we felt that nothing will change. But I hope that this time around, with the rise of the progressive movement and the unfortunate circumstances that we've been put through because of 45's existence, I would say that I hope that the Democratic Party begins to realize that if they do not talk about matters that are important to the Muslim community, they will not have our vote. And we do need the Muslim vote in key battleground states, as well as places like Michigan, where we have a large body of Muslim citizens currently living in peace. And one of the biggest issues that we ask the Democratic Party to do is to advise Joe Biden, to surround himself with people and staff members who, again, in terms of foreign policy, lead with compassion and do not apologize for the wars that we've had our hands in. We, as a community, are asking that our countries in the Middle East to be free of war, free of sanctions, and we want for America to lead in with diplomacy, in grace and compassion. And if they fail to understand this, again, I'm afraid that we will continue to see more Trumps in the White House. And I always feel that racism never started with him. It was just amplified with him. So I think that it is extremely important for the Democratic Party to move towards a progressive agenda that was led by Bernie Sanders. But when we also talk about the progressive agenda, we're talking about the basic human dignity and rights for everyone here in this country, especially for communities of color. And that shouldn't be hard to achieve in a country where we call ourselves the largest democracy in the world. So.
Well, Hania, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Good luck
Thank
as we head into the DNC and see how all of that plays out. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you, Sonali.
My guest has been Hania J. Barnes. She's a Bernie Sanders delegate candidate in California. She was part of the national organizing body for Muslims for Bernie. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also, find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.